Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
This is a crazy day, not just in the NBA, but especially for the Golden State Warriors. Klay Thompson, a staple of the dynasty, is gone. Apparently, the Warriors are getting nothing back in return for him. And then they use their mid-level exception on a point guard. Yeah, I'm stoked. I'm thrilled. I have to bring a Lakers fan on the show to make me feel better over this. The good news is he's not just a Lakers fan. He is the mayor, an actual mayor, of Threads, that platform that I've been on for almost a year, maybe over a year. I lost track of time many years ago, no pun intended. And David Rushing, a.k.a. Yo Rush, is joining the program. We're going to shed some tears together. Misery loves company because the Lakers, last I checked, haven't done anything. They lost out on the Klay Thompson sweepstakes. Let's talk about what's going on with the Warriors and the Lakers and break it all down. Let's all commiserate together. Let's all be miserable together because so far this is not looking good. Maybe it'll be better. We'll find out. For now, enjoy the Golden Bear!
That is it for us today, and we will leave you with a... I can't do it. We'll do it live! Fuck it! Do it live! And things suck! Woo! Let's go!
In a minute, I'ma need a sentimental man or woman to pump me up.
Come on and break me off! Break me off! Cause I get what I want and I like what I see!
Welcome to the Golden Days. I am Cyrus Sotzes. He is David Rushing. You can follow him on Threads at Yo Rush, the mayor of NBA Threads. I think I just said the mayor of Threads originally. It's the mayor of NBA Threads, more specifically. Follow him on Threads. Follow me on Threads at Dog Wild. Same handle for Instagram. I'm sort of back on Twitter as minimally as possible just to market my new program. I'm at Surf Journalist there. But David, you're a Lakers fan. It's great to have you on the show. We're going to talk about your team as well, but this is a Warriors audience. The chat is already lighting it up in terms of the Dub Nation is in a daze right now. I don't even know what to say about it. But David, it is really nice to finally meet you virtually in an interpersonal manner. How the hell are you doing? Before we talk about your team, the Lakers,
sure.
Let's discuss the Warriors a little bit because we have to, man. This has been an insane day. Despite the fact the Lakers lost out on Klay Thompson, your immediate thoughts to what currently as being reported is Klay Thompson going to the Dallas Mavericks, a three-team sign and trade that the Warriors supposedly don't even know about. Like supposedly they're in the dark right now. That's the impression I'm getting. They're likely going to get a trade exemption back, which means they're getting nothing back, literally, except for some sort of rights to make a trade down the road. And then they use their mid-level exception on D'Anthony Melton. Let's get a fresh perspective, a non-Warriors fan perspective on that move. And how the hell are you doing, David? Good to see you.
Yeah, thanks. I really appreciate you bringing me on. This is something new for me. I would say kind of coming into enemy waters, uncharted territory a little bit, but you and I, we've always had a good rapport, and your fan base or your followers and, you know, your Warriors fans who hop in the chat will be happy to know I'm not a delusional Lakers fan. I'm very grounded, very down to earth. I don't think we're getting, I didn't think we were getting Paul George or anybody else like that. So hopefully we can have some fun tonight. But yeah, I mean, the Klay Thompson news, it's kind of like the worst kept secret for the last 6 months that actually, you know, finally came true. It finally came to fruition. I think this morning it was reported, Windhorse reported, that it was down to the Lakers in Dallas. As a Lakers fan, I was hopeful. I've wanted to see Klay in purple and gold for a while. But yeah, I guess this afternoon it hit while I was driving that Dallas signed him. The fact that the circumstances are kind of crazy, like you said, that the Warriors really, no one really knows what's going on or the actual composition of the trade. But the first thing that comes to mind for me is just, it's really like the end, right? Like I'm a Lakers fan, but I mean, any pure basketball fan since Steph and Clay, the Splash Brothers, and Draymond went on their run, all those titles. Like, I enjoyed it. It was great. It was peak basketball for me, even though the Warriors were the ones winning. And to see Clay leave, you know, in bad terms, nonetheless, it just, you know, it hurts. Even as a Lakers fan, it's sad to see. But you know, now it's about moving on and making the best with what you've got. And I guess as of right now, that's D'Anthony Melton.
Well, yeah, we'll get into the Melton thing in just a second. But going back to Klay Thompson for a second, again, after 13 years, he says goodbye to the Golden State Warriors, a culmination of bad blood might be a strong way of putting it, but clearly hard feelings between Klay and Joe Lacob over the negotiations. I don't doubt that in Joe Lacob's mind, when they offered Klay 2 years, $48 million last year, that in his mind, he thought, this is an amazing offer, $24 million a year guaranteed for 2 years. That is a buttload of cash. But in Klay's mind, he's thinking, I've done all this for you. I've been a key member of a dynasty, and you're rewarding me with a contract that's shorter than what you offered Steph and Draymond, and the money is not to my liking. Basically, it fell apart. And Klay Thompson, now a member of the Dallas Mavericks. What's particularly, though, fascinating to me in all this is, again, the Warriors. This is according to Anthony Slater, what he's been tweeting. And I haven't really gotten any other information on this besides that. But The Warriors supposedly are uninformed. In other words, this is happening without anybody bothering to check in with the Warriors and asking them, hey, are you cool with this? What do you want in return? I saw another report somewhere, I forgot from who, where a trade exception that the Mavericks originally acquired in the Tim Hardaway Jr. trade is what's eventually going to be circled back to the Warriors. They also might get a second round pick. None of that excites me. A trade exemption, my biggest issue with that is the Warriors have had that in previous years. They got a big one in the Andre Iguodala trade some years back when they set Memphis and didn't use it. Don't use them, and you're not forced to use it. So it's an asset that if you just sit there and watch it, it's going to go away, at least under the old CBA. I don't know what the new CBA's rule is on this, but the rule used to be if you don't use your exemption for a year, it's gone. And so the Warriors are in this position right now, and I really hope Francisco Barrios, for example, in the chat writes, the Warriors are going to make a big move. I know it. I hope you're right. I love the optimism. But what's your take on this, dude? And I guess two-part question for you, Rush.
Sure.
One, what's your take on the fact that the Warriors have apparently decided that the sign-and-trade is just going to be for a trade exception? Like, how do you feel about that? Because I don't like it one bit. I think it's ridiculous. And two, what is your opinion on the Lakers, who also haven't done anything, and they were supposedly in the running to get Klay Thompson? Klay Thompson's dad, Michael Thompson, former Lakers center, wanted Klay to go to the Lakers. He expressed this publicly on Twitter, and you guys strike out too. Your thoughts?
Well, so really, and I know you've already talked about this in prior shows, but this is the second sort of head scratcher move that Mike Dunleavy Jr. has made, or I guess maybe not made, right? I mean, the rumored Chris Paul, Andrew Wiggins trade yesterday that I think it was for Zach LaVine and maybe a first that they apparently just said no to, didn't even negotiate about. That was a head scratcher because I feel like I'm not going to make it sound like the Zach LaVine contract isn't an albatross. I mean, it's significant. But I think trading out two bad contracts for one and a guy who's not yet 30, can still fill it up. Someone who can take the pressure off of Steph, especially in late game situations, can drop 50. We've seen him do it a number of times. And then you factor that in with the development of the young guys that you got, Pods. I felt like that could have been a good way to kind of get out of the Wiggins CP3 situation. So it's just two kind of straight days of, you know, it seems like they don't really have a plan. Right. Mm-hmm. It seems like now they're reacting more than being proactive with whatever their short term, long term vision is. I mean, Steph is 36. I mean, he and I are the same age, 36, 37. So, I mean, unless he's going to be like LeBron and play into his early 40s, I mean, you don't really have much time left to sort of put a another contender around him. So when you have opportunities to get firepower like LaVine, I feel like you have to take a hard look at it. And it was kind of disappointing to see that they didn't. But speaking of disappointing, my Lakers are making it really hard to step out into the sunlight as a Lakers fan, because the whole thing was, hey, first we were going to get a third star. Okay, maybe not the third star. Okay, now we're going to get, you know, maybe like a mid-tier, mid-level exception player. LeBron's going to wait on, you know, re-signing his contract. Names come out, Jonas Valanciunas, Harden, Clay, and we don't get anybody. Like, it's just, you just kind of wonder, like, again, we're not really doing anything, seemingly. So I'm getting kind of antsy. It seems like we're just going to end up running the same team back. D'Lo opted in. I think it was Reddish and Hayes opted in as well. Yeah. So, you know, for all intents and purposes, it looks like it's going to be the same team. I would imagine there's a trade looming somewhere. But if not, you know, we're looking at the same team that was a play-in and got on this receiving end of a gentleman's sweep in the playoffs. So not a whole lot to be optimistic about as a Lakers fan, but at the end of the day, we do still have LeBron James, who is continuing to defy odds and keep Father Time on the ropes, although he's not a top five player anymore, maybe not even top 10. But we do still have AD. There's some, you know, maybe a little bit of optimism with JJ coming in. I've just accepted that JJ is the coach now, and he says he wants to use AD as a hub. So that could be interesting, because there's a lot of late situations last season where AD just wasn't involved, especially even when LeBron was resting, be it the first night or a second night of a back-to-back. It was just kind of Reeves and D'Lo and just, you know,
but
long
David, shot. Francisco Barrios in the chat. I mean, dude, you got Bronny. That's, what more do you need? Your offseason set? I don't, you know, like, I totally agree with them. Your team's fine. Let's move on. I'm kidding. Go ahead, sorry.
No, you know, I get it's a good punchline. And it'll probably last for at least the first season. But I'm actually kind of, I mean, big surprise, right? As Lakers fan, I'm a homer. But no, I kind of think it's a cool thing. But interestingly enough, I have started thinking, once you get on the other side of acknowledging the cool moment, like, how does that work, right? Like, I try to imagine, like, if I was playing with my dad, right, and I kicked the ball up to him on a fast break and he fumbled it, normally I would like clap my hands and yell at a teammate. Like, if I gotta yell at my dad and say, hey, you know, get it together. So that's dynamic. I mean, I don't know how many games they're actually going to play together. I would imagine probably not many, unless just things go, the season just goes real sideways real quickly. But you know, that'll be a cool moment. But yeah, it kind of lets you know how your offseason's going if Bronny is your, you know, top acquisition. Although I don't want to connect. I'm sorry. Bronny is your headline.
There is no chance in hell that's going to be the move. I still, my prediction is DeMar DeRozan is going to end up with your squad. He's still out there. There's no chance in hell the Lakers are going to do anything. But yeah, the inactivity, I'm sure, is driving you crazy, like any fan base. Yeah. Now, you know, one thing in the chat that I saw that I did like reading, and real fast, earlier today, Damon Bruce and I did a live show. And within this hour, like, the Klay Thompson news dropped. The D'Anthony Melton news dropped. It was a crazy show. And we were talking early on about signing trade partners for Klay and how Dallas and LA were the two teams. And the Mavericks, the Lakers had some terrific assets that we were dreaming about, like Jared Vanderbilt potentially coming back, Rui Hachimura potentially coming back in a sign and trade. And then you get the news that it's Dallas and and you're getting back a trade exemption, which is just asinine. The D'Anthony Melton side of this, and this Douglas Mike's in the chat, this is where I absolutely love doing live shows and I love this audience. So many of them are just incredibly bright. Wrote in the chat, and this, look, if the DeAnthony Melton signing leads to this, all good. He writes that DeAnthony Melton basically means that Gary Payton II is expendable. Melton is a good defender. He's a solid defender. Right. But his and even though GP2 is far better, hopefully Melton will be more durable this year. I know he missed a lot of time last season because of a back injury. Side note, another huge flag for a player you're committing $13 million to. But if the DeAnthony Melton signing results in a bigger trade where GP2, where maybe Kevon Looney, where Andrew Wiggins, some sort of package involving those three where you don't have to move your young pieces, if it leads to those three being moved for, let's say, Zach LaVine, right?
Yeah.
In a sign and trade. If it ends up being something like that, then all good. Great.
Yeah.
Right. Then this ends up working out. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I think if that's a scenario that's out there, if that's something that they can put together, absolutely. I think you at this point, you kind of have to, right. You really, I think, are going to need a consistent contributor on offense that, you know, can take some pressure off of Steph. Wiggins, we've seen, or you guys have seen, all of us who watch basketball have seen, is highly inconsistent. And you know, you only had Chris Paul for a little bit of time, and he was older. So I think, yeah, I mean, just that, I would ask, you know, I guess I would ask you, just as a Warriors fan, as someone who's really in tune with the team, like, I mean, if you don't get someone like a LaVine or somebody who can step in and give you, you know, 20 a night, I mean, who's going to carry that load for you offensively? I know you've got Kuminga, but I mean, who else can kind of, who's a veteran presence, who's demonstrated that they can do it night in and night out? I mean, who can you really lean on?
That's a good question. What you're asking basically is who's the second scorer, right? Like last year, the Klay Thompson was tasked with that role, being the second scorer, and he averaged just under 18 points a game. Side note, by the way, Rush, I don't mean to make you feel even older, but Klay is 34, turning 35 this year. Get your goddamn facts straight next time you come on the show. I'm kidding. I'm totally teasing. But no. So you're a whole year older than Klay. But you're right. The Warriors right now lack a second option for Steph. Now, DeAnthony Melton and John Holmes in the chat. He's not the porn star, by the way. But I love his contributions. Hold on, he wrote something. Oh, here. So John Holmes in the chat wrote that Melton is better than you think. I don't deny that. DeAnthony Melton is a solid player. Two huge flags for him. One being that he missed time last year because of a back injury. Those aren't the types of injuries that you want to pick up. Those are the ones that can linger. Those are the ones where there's no just, you know, easy path to recovery if the injury is complicated. But two, and more importantly, dude, it's the land of hobbits. The population's growing. Like the entire problem with the Golden State Warriors is this damn small ball that is antiquated, that is not a realistic formula for success in the modern game. And you just went ahead and used one of your biggest tools, the mid-level exception, for a 6'3 guard. Now, the player I really wanted, unfortunately, got re-signed by the Orlando Magic, Goga Bitadze. But then when you hear the amount that the Magic gave him, 3 years, $25 million, the Warriors could have offered way more than that. But instead, they let Orlando re-sign him, and the Warriors go with the guy who's 6'3". 6'3 in today's NBA, and what really bugs me about it is, you know, DeAnthony Melton and Stephen Curry are going to be sharing the court a lot, and that means for another year, you have a backcourt where chances are you have two players standing at 6'3 or shorter, and it doesn't work defensively. It's like you cannot stop opposing teams when they don't have to worry about their shot being blocked, right? It's not complicated. Yeah. And so that's the part that drives me absolutely insane. And yes, Douglas Mikes, Bitadze got re-signed by the Magic. So that's my frustration here, man. And again, if they're not making other moves, you're right. Where the hell is the second score coming from? Now my guess is they're going to count on Brandon Pajemski a little more because he is an outstanding outside shooter, and he started figuring that out later in the season. He shot 43.8% from deep in college his final year at Santa Clara. But again, that's That's a huge if, no guarantees. And right now, I don't have an answer for you who the number two scorer is. That is going to be a problem unless the Warriors make another move. If you don't mind adding on to that, or if you have any other thoughts.
No, I think that it's just like, you know, it's just a reality of the situation right now. You know, losing Clay effectively for nothing. It kind of puts you in that bind. I like the idea of, you know, potentially trading Gary Payton II, just because there is a redundancy there a little bit with Melton and then Steph. I myself, I'm not really a fan of small backcourts, especially when you get into the postseason and teams really scout and exploit. So I would hope that maybe there's a deal in the works just for, you know, a taller guard, combo guard, be it that it may, or maybe even a point, just some height, some length. I'm just a fan of height and length, and small backcourts usually don't do it for me. Now you've got Steph, who is obviously the outlier. So, I mean, he's going to be able to do what he does. But when you're talking about, when you're talking about, again, just that second score, it just looks kind of bleak right now. So hopefully they can get somebody to take Wiggins, because it seems, especially with the Olympics storyline, it seems like everything is heading toward a divorce this offseason, or at least just before next season. So hopefully that can turn into something. And then if GP2 is now looked at as expendable because you have Melton, you know, that could get you something. So, you know, it's, I've been reading a lot of the senior writers online. And as you said, I seem sort of impatient right now, which I am, but with, you know, with the new CBA and the aprons and all that, everyone has really said that things are moving a lot more slowly this year, as opposed to more recent off seasons. So it's something where, you know, you're used to that first day and a half, like all the signings are pretty much done and you're down to the minimums. It's probably going to take a little bit more time now to see teams, you know, really execute their plan B's and C's to fill their rosters out. So I'm optimistic. Maybe we can be optimistic together as two teams that are seemingly headed for another play-in type season, that you know, our front offices can turn things around and maybe get some pieces in that can help our fortunes be a little bit different.
Yeah, I hope so too. You know, when you talk about plan B's and plan C's, Rush, and we're joined by the mayor of NBA Threads, David Rushing. You can follow him on Threads, and I'm guessing by default on Instagram as well, at Yo Rush. Speaking of plan B's and C's, is there anyone out there who's still available besides DeMar DeRozan that excites you? Because this would apply not just to the Lakers, but to the Warriors, who do still have a biannual exemption, approximately $5 million that they could still spend. And again, they have a lot of trade options now, especially with that trade exemption coming in. But who are you looking at? Anyone? And I'm sorry if I put you on the spot and you haven't done your research. But I'm just curious.
No. A lot of them have signed elsewhere. But maybe Luke Kennard. I think I know he's still out there. Southpaw can shoot and can do some things actually off the dribble as well. So surprising. I know most people think of him as sort of like a catch and shoot or spot up, but can do some things off the bounce. After that, I really don't. I wanted Jonas. Jonas was at, I mean, I know I'm not really a GM, but Jonas was at the top. Valanciunas was sort of at the top of my list. I thought that he could be a get for the mid-level. And I mean, he signed for even less than what the Lakers could have given him. So maybe the fact that he couldn't be guaranteed a starting role played into him going to Washington of all teams.
Fast, by the way, before we move on, before you continue on, I just have to address something in the chat here, because I'd like to correct factual inaccuracies. This is courtesy of one of our loyal viewers, Bruce Morrow, sure. But he writes in the chat, the Warriors are not that small. Bruce, they're literally, by statistical definition, in terms of average height, the smallest team in the NBA. They didn't get that much. I mean, I know Quentin Post gives you some size, but De'Anthony Melton also lowers that average. Landry Waters, the third, is 6'5", 6'6". So chances are they're still the smallest team in the NBA. I just want to clarify that. Like that's not true. Anyways, continue on. Sorry to
interrupt. Please. Fact check. no disrespect, but I appreciate a good fact check. So yeah, I mean, maybe Luke Kennard, Mo Wagner. I think Orlando. Yeah, he was on a team option, I think, and they elected not to bring him back. So he's out there. I know he's played for the Lakers before, but you know, just when you're looking for just guys who can have impact and spell AD and just not be a total, you know, zero on the offensive end. I know Mo can. He's not a. You don't think of him as a dominant scorer. But when you talk about offensive rebounds and he can spot up, those are really the two guys other than DeRozan, I think now, who I think the front office is probably going to turn their attention to. It doesn't seem like he'll be back in Chicago based on the moves that they're making and rumored to be looking at. So now it's, you know, how much money is he going to want at this stage of his career and how important is coming home considering apparently the rumor is that there was pretty much a done deal in the works the year they brought Westbrook in. And it just didn't happen for whatever reason. I guess Bron and AD wanted Westbrook. So I had an opportunity once, seemed like we were on the 1 yard line. Maybe we can actually get it over into the end zone this time. But yeah, we'll see. I am, you know, it's slim pickings right now. It really is.
It is. You're absolutely right. Degenerate underscore daddy in the chat asking if there's any truth to what has been speculation from what I've seen, which is a trade that involves Andrew Wiggins to Milwaukee for Bobby Portis. That would be a dream trade. But again, I've only heard that as a rumor. I don't see how Milwaukee says yes to that. I mean, if you're Milwaukee, I don't know if you get better with a trade like that. I also want to correct myself because someone keeps criticizing me, and rightfully so. I keep calling a Lindy Waters Landy Waters. If I'm doing that, that's my bad. He's new. Just let me get used to the name. I apologize. It's right. Lindy Waters. So apologies again for messing up the name. But there's another thing here in the chat, which chat's awesome, man. It inspires a lot of stuff. Thank you. Dr. J30, she wrote, is it true that the Clippers didn't want George to go to the Warriors? And I think the reason why she's asking this is because there's this narrative, and I brought this up with Damon earlier, that teams don't want to make deals with the Warriors because they're envious of their success. I've never heard of such a thing in my life, man. I don't remember teams never wanting to make moves with the Patriots because they've been winning for so many years. I've never heard of a team not wanting to make a deal with the Lakers because they're a successful franchise. When the Warriors were a dynasty, actually winning all the time, they were still pulling off trades. I think that's a BS narrative. All these GMs know each other. They're friendly with each other. The owners are not looking at the name of the team and saying, do not trade with them. We're jealous. That doesn't happen. For the most part. All right, I'm sure there's exceptions. But I bring this up because there's it's a narrative, man. It is not rooted in reality, which is that the Clippers shut down the Paul George trade because they didn't want to help the Warriors. No, the reality of it is, and I apparently Marcus Thompson of The Athletic.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Westwood1.
Nick was echoing something similar on some radio show today. And I got to poo-poo that, man. Like, the reality is the Clippers said no to that deal because they did not want to bring money in. They let Paul George go because they're trying to, like the Warriors, cut spending. If you're not legitimately going to win a championship, there's zero point to getting into those first and second aprons. So the Clippers, in all these trade proposals for Paul George, were going to have to bring money back in. Andrew Wiggins' contract has, I think, 3 more years left on it. No matter who it is, there would have been money coming in, and that's ultimately why they said no. They didn't want to continue to go into these second and aprons and first aprons and paying all these luxury tax penalties. So that is the reason why. It is not because teams look at the Warriors and go, I don't want to deal with them. Like, that's not happening, man. All these owners and GMs know each other. They're calling each other all the time. They're friendly with each other. Trades, AKA business, is not being affected because one team is being more successful than others. Anything you want to add to that, Rush?
No, I'll just say that a lot of what I've been reading didn't call that out like specifically, but it did sort of imply that the Clippers were presented with, you know, these, you know, can't say no packages, and they just simply didn't because they for some reason didn't want to. So yeah, I definitely got that being implied in a lot of the reporting that I read, and of course a lot of the chatter or narrative, as you call it, online. But it didn't make sense, and I think just the reality that I think a lot of fans are going to have to like sort of wrap their minds around, myself included, is when you don't have a team that you can consider a bona fide contender, more than likely front offices are going to look at cutting spending.
Yeah, exactly.
It just seems like everybody is like, okay, really assessing, can we be one of, you know, the top, you know, 4 teams in our conference, and if not, you know, we have to start looking at 2, 3, 4 years down the line. And I think that's hard for a lot of fans to accept because we're fanatics at heart, which is, you know, why we care about the sport. And sometimes it's easier to care about the immediate than the long term. But I think it's just a new reality that we're going to have to get okay with. But another side of that is you get these narratives are sort of concocted that, you know, this team doesn't want to trade with that team. Although I'll admit, there was a time where I bought into the Laker tax because it just seemed like no one wanted to wanted to trade with us. And even now it's like, oh, what happened to the prestige of the Lakers brand? It seems like it's just gone. Like, we have, I'm begging people. Bron's having to, you know, say he's not going to take as much money to try to just entice people to come.
Well, I don't think that's, I think it's more of a salary cap thing in that case, right? It's not necessarily
He was willing to, So he was making, as I've read it, he was making the gesture, hey, I'm going to opt out and I'm not going to ask for this the max contract, you know, if we can bring one of these people in. And then of course it was reported like right at 6 o'clock last night, he was on the phone with Clay. So I'm being a little dramatic, of course. So forgive me, but LeBron's definitely going to be about his money if it seems like the Lakers can't get anybody, which unless they can get DeRozan, it looks like that's going to be the case. But I agree. These narratives can get kind of wacky, especially.
Yeah, and that's online. That's so much of what this is. It's just narratives, just stories, and it's crazy how often these things just pick up and turn into reality when it's absolutely not true. Burn Potato in the chat, and there's been a few people in the chat ripping on Draymond Green today, and this leads into a question I'm going to ask you, Rush, as a Laker fan. You have an outside perspective on this. Burn Potato writes that the Warriors can't even sign another star because of Draymond. That's the insinuation. Do you, Rush, as an outsider when it comes to the Warriors, what is your feeling on Draymond? Like, is he as toxic as folks like Burn Potato say he is? Do you think that's another narrative? I mean, what are your thoughts on Draymond? Because he is a polarizing player.
I just want to, first of all, that is a fantastic handle. the profile picture to go with it, it's fabulous. So kudos. I have a supreme appreciation for the basketball talent and basketball mind that Draymond is and has. A lot of, you know, people who sort of look at the game on a surface level would say, oh, well, you know, he doesn't score a lot of points and blah, blah, blah. But if you really watch possessions, even now, I mean, especially defensive possessions, Draymond impacts the game just at a level that very few do. That being said, you know, there's, and you can fact check me, please, if I'm wrong on any of this, just recalling reporting that I saw when it happened, you know, obviously confronted Kevin Durant when he didn't, you know, wouldn't tell the team what he was going to do you know, whether he was going to opt out or whatever. That was seen as him sort of running KD off. We obviously have the Jordan Poole situation that, you know, we've dissected ad nauseum, but I mean, it happened. So, you know, do stars want to play with, I mean, does anyone want to play with Draymond? I mean, I would think so, because he's a winner, right? I mean, he's won.
Exactly.
And he, exactly. And he, and he's a great player. Like, he's not a great offensive player, but if you look at the totality of everything that Draymond Green does and has done in his career, he's a great basketball player. And, you know, that's inspiring. And it can also wear off, especially when you're talking about young players, players trying to find their own. So I'm hedging a little bit, but I don't think that it would be an issue. Because I think Draymond is one of those guys, when you get in the, what do they call it? The foxhole or the trenches with him, you'll see that he has your back, and he has the team's best interest at heart.
Totally.
Does he get a little fiery and does that get the best of him sometimes, as we've seen? Yes. But, you know, I would think that, it's not as much as all the other stuff that doesn't get covered, all the good stuff that he does that doesn't get covered.
Absolutely. And you know, the one name that keeps being thrown out there in terms of a lot of Warriors fans wanting him, there is some speculation, even Brian Windhorst alluded to it either yesterday or today. And that's Lauri Markkanen in terms of the Warriors' interest in him. Now look, the price tag, and if you followed basketball for as long as myself and probably Rush has, you know, Danny Ainge, he's a savvy negotiator. He will not just give players up for nothing. You know, when he makes a trade, he might give you a lot, but he's asking for a lot in the process. And Lauri Markkanen will not be cheap. No. I'm not hearing Lauri Markkanen's name with the Lakers at all. Which begs the question of why. Is it just a situation where you don't think it's just not a possibility? The assets and the math doesn't add up, or maybe there's something else there. But Rush, what are your thoughts on Lauri Markkanen, man? And as an outsider, this is where I love your perspective. Would you trade Jonathan Kuminga for Lauri Markkanen? Your thoughts?
Wow. Well, way to toss me a grenade, Si. I'll answer the first question first.
Okay.
That'll give me time to collect my thoughts, how I want to attack the second one.
You don't have to answer anything. I mean,
I'm just kidding. No, I think, one, Lauri's a talent, obviously, at 6'10", 11, whatever he is, can
7 feet, supposedly.
Yeah, 7 feet can shoot from distance in between and sky low post game too. So I love what he's done in Utah. I mean, obviously a lot of people who have followed his career, a lot of people were talking like a lot of people thought he was going to be a bust when the Bulls drafted him. And he played well for them, but he's just flourished in Utah given, you know, Will Hardy's system and just really the opportunity. So I would love Lauri, and there's not a price you could give me where I would say absolutely not, except for obviously LeBron and AD, because I think Laurie's that special, and you pair him with LeBron and AD, that fit might have to figure that out. It might take some time to figure it out with those three playing together, but I think if you can get him, and it's anyone outside of LeBron and AD, you do what it takes.
So why are the Lakers not going after him? Like why do we never see the Lakers in any speculative reports tied to Lauri Markkanen?
Hopefully because everybody's keeping their mouth shut, and they actually are.
Or so you do want him then. Okay, so you do like him, but for some reason the Lakers
I mean this could just be one of those deals where, you know, both sides are talking, but it just hasn't, you know, Woj and Shams either haven't reported it or haven't, you know, been caught in wind of it yet. So hopefully they are. If not, you know, that's just another reason for me to scratch my head at Rob Pelinka. But I think Lauri immediately raises the team's outlook if they're able to get him.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to ask, someone brought up in the chat earlier, and I can't find it right now. I apologize. But someone was asking about Andrew Wiggins and why it is that he has no value. Or he's very minimal value. I don't want to say zero, but he doesn't have a lot of value. If he did, you would, you know, Mike Dunleavy Jr.'s phone would be ringing off the hook. with trade proposals. And maybe it is, in theory. I don't have a microphone in there. I'm not recording secretly, but I also feel like we'd be hearing more things, more stories pertaining to Wiggins. Look, I mean, on the surface, it's fairly obvious. Look, he's an inconsistent shooter. The yep. unexplained absences, and I have an idea why, but last time I touched that subject, it caused a lot of problems. So I'm letting you go. But nonetheless, the absences, you know, the inconsistencies. I mean, there's a lot going on with Andrew Wiggins. He's played in the NBA for 10 years. You can make the argument 9 of those 10s he underachieved.
Right.
From your perspective, why is Andrew Wiggins not valued as highly as maybe he should or maybe he shouldn't? I don't know. Your thoughts on Wiggins?
I mean, I think it's all right. I don't think it's that difficult. I think it's everything you just said, honestly. It's just, and I'm not saying that to get out of answering the question. I really just don't feel like there's really, I think you nailed it. Because me on the outside looking in, I mean, that's what I see. There's inconsistencies in terms of him being available. I don't know what those personal reasons are. I'm not as close to the team, obviously, as you are, so I won't speculate. But I just know he wasn't available for significant stretches. There are times where he's just not engaged, and that's just been Andrew Wiggins as long as we've known him.
Or in Bruce Morrow loves to say Wiggins is mercurial. I always love when he brings that up.
That's a good one. So I think that may be why. You just, at this point with the contract he has, you know, how much more are you going to get? How much better does Andrew Wiggins get from this point, right? Mm-hmm. And that paired with his contract, I mean, that's more questions than answers. So I think that may be why a lot of teams are a little hesitant to pull the trigger on a deal that brings him back.
Absolutely, man. Dude, I do feel like the Warriors and Lakers fan bases have a right to be disappointed so far. Again, the Lakers, their biggest news item so far this summer and this offseason, Bronny James, a second round pick. You know, I mean, and re-signing players. I honestly was a little surprised that that $2.5 million was enough to keep Cam Reddish. Jackson Hayes made a little more sense, but I thought Cam had some value. I'm a little surprised he opted into that. That's not a lot of money. It's apparently the market's that small, or maybe he likes LA that much. I don't know, but our fan bases are both very disappointed right now. And we'll see what happens, man. It is still very early in the offseason, but these players are getting swallowed up by the second. I feel like every time I look for an update for Woj or for Shams, just another player got signed. Garrett Temple has agreed to a 1-year deal to return to the Raptors. That's another player that's off the board. Like, what are you hoping for? What would be your like ideal dream scenario? And maybe we could steal your idea for the Warriors as well. But as a Laker fan, like, is there anything left that you're hoping for?
I would say this, assuming there's no like other deal or opportunity that just hasn't been reported on, right? So I'm assuming that our only option is what's on the free agent market. I've had to sort of come to terms these last few hours and since last night, but I really think DeMar DeRozan would sort of salvage the summer for us. I just think he's a certified bucket. He's a bucket getter. He's been doing it as long as he's been in the league, really. Maybe JJ can get him to shoot threes. I don't think it's a matter of him not being able to make them, although he probably is going to be a slightly below, you know, the league average for a wing. But I think just getting him to take them, then defenses are going to have to respect that. And then that sort of opens other things up. But I would think DeRozan, even at this age, I think he can sort of salvage the summer for us at this point.
I love him.
And he's you talk about grit. I mean, his picture is right there in the dictionary. I mean, he's just gonna go at you. And he can just fill it up in a number of ways. Absolutely. So such a creative score. That's where I'm at this point. Like I said, and that's assuming that there's no other deal that's in the works that just hasn't been reported on. I think ultimately D'Lo probably gets moved where, I have no idea. I know what came out when the news announced, or that it was announced that he was opting in, that he, you know, wants to return to LA and play for JJ Redick. But I think he's probably going to get moved, because he's the most, you could make the argument that his salary is below his talent level. So he's at a bit of a bargain. So maybe you put him with one or two other pieces and maybe one of those draft picks and you can get, you know, somebody. But other than that, I think it's DeRozan or bust, unfortunately.
It is crazy what has come down to here, but here we are. Somebody in the chat, I won't even mention your name, Douglas Mikes, because you're actually writing in here that Wiggins is going to have an all-star season. Give me some of what you're smoking, please. Sign me up for that. All right. I think we've exhausted everything. Again, just one more reminder, because someone asked in the chat, we still don't know if anything, the Warriors are getting in the Klay Thompson sign and trade. It looks like it's going to be a trade exemption. And if they don't use it, it's just a complete waste. So I do hope they use it. Rush, did we forget anything? Did we cover all the bases today? Your final thoughts, sir. And really stoked you came on today, man. I hope you had a good time.
No, I've loved it. Thanks for trusting me with your platform, your audience.
You're the mayor, dude. You're the mayor of NBA Threads, of course.
Yeah, this has been an awesome experience. And if I may,
please.
This is 2024, so you can't take for granted that people won't take you literally these days. So just in case that's what's going on. No, I'm not actually a mayor. You notice I don't have in a suit. I'm not in a suit or a tie. It's a nickname that was given to me, I guess, by the community on Threads early on.
Well, didn't Instagram's like CEO or somebody like kind of show you some love too? Or it was somebody, some big time people were hyping you up, right?
I got to meet with Adam Mosseri in Vegas at the in-season tournament. So I've been shouted out a couple of times, which is amazing. just kind of mind blown, like. I never would have thought something like that would happen, but it was just the name given to me by the NBA Threads community, and it just kind of stuck. I kind of fought it for a while, but you know, it just stuck, and I figure it's admiration. So
and look, you could have Joe Nunnemoker's nickname. They call him the Golden Jizz. So I'm gonna go with the mayor. I think the mayor is a good one, man. Let's just stick all over that. Oh my God, look, Joe! Breaking news: we've got a fan of the show who just jizzed all over his hamster. The hamster is now stuck to his computer desk and they're doing anal acrobatics. All right, we're going to stop entertaining that. That was fun.
That's a lot.
Now they're getting a little too much. All right, but anyways, yeah, sorry about that. That was being immature there. No, but cool. Rush, no, you're killing it. Look, competition is healthy for business. And yeah, the fact that the NBA Twitter has a competition now on NBA Threads, And Dave Rush here, Dave Rushing, is the mayor of that by title only, not officially, but I'm going to call you the mayor forever and ever. So bravo, man. I think are we done? Are we good? I guess that's it. We'll be back at this. If anything happens, I pray that the Warriors just put a kibosh on this ridiculous hobbit ball mentality and philosophy, because it is not going to translate to success. I genuinely feel sorry for Stephen Curry, man. Like, Steph needs help in the sense of size, physicality, scoring. You get none of that with DeAnthony Melton. Yet that's who the Warriors just spent $13 million on. Waited all offseason for that big news, the mid-level exception, and we get DeAnthony Melton. God damn it. Yet that's where we are. So let's really hope for a trade.
Right.
All right, Joe Nunnemaker, I don't want to ban you, but let's put a stop on the. We get it. We get it. You love to jizz. Okay. We get it. I don't like to block people, but I don't want the chat being spammed like that either. All right. I'll put you in a timeout. It doesn't ban you. We'll just put you in a timeout. I think we're good. Is there any final thoughts? Anything you want to promote? Or are we done?
I'm not the best at promotion, but you know, if anyone has, not made the jump to Threads or at least tried it out, I would highly, highly recommend you to do so. It's a really fun community, and it's probably you could call it the anti-Twitter. So it's really all about engagement and community, and we really take it really seriously. So if you're looking for a different place to talk hoops and really have some fun online, I would say just make the jump to Threads, and you can find me there. Yo, Rush. Other than that, man, I just really grateful and appreciate being able to come on and share the space with you.
And Bruce Morrow, yeah, of course, man. I appreciate you coming on. We'll get you back. Bruce Morrow's saying threads starting to get weird, though. What isn't weird? There's no,
yeah,
no
such thing
as perfection.
That's inevitable. Yeah.
East Coast Bias writing that the Celtics won playing small ball. I'm sorry. I didn't know Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum were 6'3". I guess you forgot that the Celtics went out there and got themselves a 7'3" center. What are you talking about, man? There was no, like, 6'3"? And you're going to hype that up? You're going to support that? Get out of here, dude. Come on, man. Bring some intelligence to the game, not ignorance. All right. Thank you, Rush. That was fun. And thank you to everyone. Have a great day. We'll be back at this very soon. Follow Rush on Threads at Yo Rush. Otherwise, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was awesome, man. Thank you, brother. That was really good. You were.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.